This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Has the streetcar issue already left the station and can't be stopped now? Or can a petition effort derail the streetcar and other future mass transit rail projects along with it? City Council Person Joe Cryer is a leader calling for the streetcar vote, and when he was on The Source recently, he said even though there is no tax increase for the project, the city should vote.
I've looked at this proposed project very carefully, and depending on which estimates you're using, the cost is somewhere between $200 million plus and $450 million. It seems to me that that's a big enough project. Even though the city's initial contribution is only $32 million, that's a big enough project that the people served by our transit agency, which is VIA has called an election in the past on the sales tax increase, which funded highway incentives and our bus company. I think VIA should call an election on this for its service area, and they're really the logical ones to do it, more so than the city of San Antonio.
What are your thoughts about the streetcar project? Are you in support of a vote, or do you think that that's why we have a representation? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And with me now to talk about streetcars is Greg Jefferson, business editor at the San Antonio Express News. Greg, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
So, Greg, does it seem to you that opponents to the streetcar are winning the argument based on volume and loudness?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no denying that this is a very vociferous opposition. But on the other side of that, you've got, I think, a lot of elected officials just who maybe had voted for a streetcar in previous years, just kind of sitting on the sidelines and not really, really standing up for the streetcar project.
Right. Also, many of the people who are in favor of the streetcar project feel that it's already been taken care of. There is no more debate.
Right. But I think that's starting to shift now. I mean, you've got the opposition out collecting signatures for a petition. Depending on who you talk to, they need 20,000. Last week they told a reporter, Viana Davila, that they were at about 17,000. So they're closing in pretty quickly. And, they may be able to force a vote, and that would obviously reopen the issue. Even if they didn't, I mean, say that effort failed, it's a political hot button. And next year you're going to be heading into city elections. You got to think that in a competitive council and mayoral races, it's going to be an issue. And the city has agreed to contribute $32 million to the project's $280 million. But they haven't actually cut the check yet. The thought is sometime in the next, probably next year, the council will have to vote on actually issuing certificates of obligation, which is a kind of debt, to pay the city's share. And there's, some thought that that might be an opportunity for the opposition on council and for out in the community to really to focus in once again on a streetcar vote and maybe get it stopped that way or at least slow it down by taking city money away.
Okay, our phone lines are open, and we expect a lot of calls. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Bill on the air. Bill, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I think it would be chaos if citizens arbitrarily started voting on all kinds of projects. There are literally hundreds of transportation projects in the works, some of which are even larger than the streetcar project in terms of dollar amounts. And how could a business make any intelligent decisions if any one of these projects could arbitrarily be called for a vote and dismissed in that way? It would just be a very chaotic situation. I don't think the average citizen realizes how many hundreds of projects elected officials vote on a regular basis.
All right, Bill, thanks for calling that in. We appreciate your comments. Greg,
yeah,
you wanted to say something.
Yeah, sorry for stepping on you like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think Bill raises a very good point. I mean, let's look at what the opposition is trying to do with this charter election. So they want to collect enough enough signatures, about 20,000, to call an election or to force the city council to call an election to change the city charter, basically to say any project, any streetcar or light rail project that is going to cut through a city-owned right-of-way has to go to a public vote. So it's, I mean, you're not really, you know, you're not talking about hundreds of projects because we don't have that many. You know, there are no, apart from streetcar at this point, you've got no rail projects in the city that we're talking about. But I mean, it, you know, it does open the door for any number of public votes down the road when we maybe eventually add light rail. And we're making a distinction between light rail and streetcar. A lot of people will argue that point, but just, you know, for expediency's sake, we'll say they're different. Or say
sure.
You...
But let me read you what the petition says. No streetcar or other light rail franchise, easement, or other transaction involving or in association with granting the right of to use any street, highway, alley, park, public place, or any real property of the city, either along, across, over, or under the same, shall ever be valid unless expressly approved by the majority vote of the qualified electors of the city in election distinctly specifying the, such purpose separate from any other subject or purpose. So that means every individual project would have to be put on the ballot for streetcar, light rail, or anything involving an easement. So that would be, that could even expand beyond that. But if we ever had any ambitions to have a light rail project in San Antonio, they would have to go through this this effort, which may be enough to kill it.
Right. So, I mean, you're saying that if you've got to go to a public vote, you're going to be a little gun shy about introducing a light rail project. I think.
Yeah.
If that's what you're saying, I think that's probably right. I mean, you know, the recent history in San Antonio doesn't look favorably on light rail. You have only to go back to what 2001.
Well, yeah. It was a disastrous vote.
Right.
City leaders would not want to repeat that. But you've seen lots of cities come back and revitalize, revamp, rework these proposals because it was not a very good proposal. But just because you voted against light rail once doesn't mean you never, ever, ever want to have light rail in any form or fashion.
Right.
But you continue the conversation, and that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Okay, we got a lot of phone calls here. We're going to get to them. We want to hear from the community, have a community, a town hall meeting about streetcars right now. The number is 210-614-8980. And I've got Greg Jefferson from the San Antonio Express News business editor here on the line with me. And I've got you, so be sure to call in if you've got something to say. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a petition effort to put on the city ballot an approval of streetcars or light rail in San Antonio. I put out the question, what else should taxpayers be voting on in San Antonio? We got a reply via email from Jennifer. Here's a few issues I believe we should have been given a right to vote for or against: changing Durango to Cesar Chavez, extending Fiesta to 18 days, buying the holiday lights for the Riverwalk. No one likes the new energy-saving lights. So people really, they want to turn this into having lots of these referendums all the time, Greg.
Right, yeah, and those are just very specific projects. Like, you know, take changing Durango to Cesar Chavez. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon for the city to change street names. So does that mean, apart from that very high-profile street name change, do we open them all up to a public vote? And, you know, the same with the duration of Fiesta. This year it was because Easter fell right in the middle of Fiesta, so they extended it to 18 days. A lot of people didn't like that. But, I mean, if you're going to make any kind of a calendar adjustment on Fiesta, are we really going to, you know, call a public vote every time? I mean, it does seem like it would get pretty unwieldy pretty quickly.
All right, let's get some of our callers on the air. Robert has called in. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. The issue is not whether everyone should vote on an issue like this. The fact is that the city charter allows that if people get 20,000 votes on petitions, they're entitled to have a vote. And you can't throw that out the window because it may seem uncomfortable for someone in the Express News or in the city council or in the Chamber of Commerce. And I'd go one step further. The reason most people are opposed to spending taxpayer money on light rail or trolley cars, call them what you want, that is that VIA cannot justify its existence on the basis of what the passengers count. I mean, VIA is, except for about a half a dozen bus routes that go into the old downtown area, VIA is painfully empty. VIA buses are painfully empty. That's why they have the windows black, so that you can't see how few people are in the buses.
Okay. All right, Robert, thank you for that call. I ride the bus every now and again, and I don't have that experience. And so, Greg Jefferson, any reaction to Robert's comments?
Yeah, I mean, I see his point. And by the way, our editorial page may have taken a position on streetcar. I have not. I've analyzed it in a recent column. Both sides. I don't take a position. I try to understand both sides. But you know, I understand what he's saying. I mean, you know, the petition clause is there in the charter. I mean, here you just happen to be talking about, you know, calling a charter election to change the charter to something that could open up, a lot of different projects to a public vote. Is that good? Is that bad? I mean, I can see, you know, I can see where logistically it would be a big problem, and it would be kind of expensive for the city to be doing a lot of
right, but it does
elections like that. But I mean, oh, go ahead.
No. So let's get another caller on the air. We've got a lot of calls here. So Armando has called in. Armando, welcome to The Source. Armando, are you there?
Curious to how other cities have handled this similar issue that might maybe even involve a petition or not.
Okay, Armando, thanks for that call. Appreciate it. Greg, any input how other cities have done this?
I'm afraid I don't. I don't believe that, you know, at least in my reading, I haven't come across a city that's had heartburn like this, but I wouldn't at all
right.
rule it out. I mean, it's...
Well, there's been some national analysis about how there is this renaissance of streetcars across the nation from major American cities, and San Antonio has been held up as one of the cities that is has the biggest and most vocal opposition. But when you look at the list of the cities out there that either now have streetcars or they're planning them or they're breaking ground and building them now, you see Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Seattle, New Haven, Kansas City, Charlotte, Arlington, Virginia, Tampa, Seattle, Dallas, Salt Lake City, Tucson, Memphis, I mean, Phoenix. There's a lot of cities out there doing this. And in Oklahoma City, when they actually passed a tax increase to get their streetcar project going. So it just seems to be maybe a local issue of a very strong, robust opposition. All right, another caller to get on the air. Ralph has called in. Ralph, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. First of all, this is partially a cultural issue, but it's also a physical issue. And by cultural issue, the culture of San Antonio is changing. I mean, I've seen more people riding bicycles and everything else, trying to take advantage of a lot of the initiatives that have been made to kind of go green. And that is an indicator of the millennial generation that's coming out. Now, as far as the physical issue goes, one of the things that's lacking, but I think in the conversation, is the use of geographic information systems, GIS technology, which is advanced mapping technology, to create spatial models. One of the, you know, one of the things that Seattle and other places have done when it came to light rail is that they use technology to manage public forum, but they also use it to provide spatial models to show, hey, this is what the future may look like, and this is what the current status is of traffic patterns, et cetera.
Right.
And
so Ralph, you're saying don't look to the past, look to the future to figure out if...
I'm saying that before a decision is made, either yay or nay or whatever else, that maybe a committee should be formed by the city to do a very comprehensive spatial analysis with GIS technology.
Okay. All right, Ralph. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff.
That's really interesting. I mean, he hits on really a central issue in the streetcar project, which is millennials, right? I mean, the main thrust of this project is economic development, much more so than some kind of transit solution. And so economic development with this project means extending the lines through downtown, getting residential developers interested, getting retail, and to attract companies to move offices downtown, with the big idea being that, you know, you're going to have an increasing population of, millennials, young adults, basically 22 through, 37, kind of flocking to downtown. You're starting to see that, but I mean, you know, it's not hard to figure out where a lot of this opposition is coming from. You know, if you're a family, you know, if you have a family and you're in your 40s and you live in the city's north side, you're going to look at that project and say, I just don't see the benefit. You know, I mean, it may be great for young adults who live downtown, but it doesn't do anything for me. And it doesn't appear, you know, it doesn't seem to really plug into any kind of, you know, much larger regional mass transit plan. It seems to be kind of
And that's definitely a flaw.
Yeah.
We have not seen a regional mass transit plan. And so people have a hard time seeing the big picture and where is the streetcar going to take us. Some people can just say, why do we need this little strip of rail that's going to be going through downtown? But if they saw that there was a bigger view, then, you know, they might be able to support it.
Yeah, that's one of the views of Councilman Ron Nirenberg. He represents District 8 on the north side. He's likely to be a mayoral candidate next year. He opposes the streetcar project for that very reason, because it doesn't really, you know, there's no greater plan that it plugs into. It seems like it's kind of on its own, and, you know, as far as the economic development benefits, you know, I think he questions, well, if it has such promise for attracting business to downtown, how come the private sector in San Antonio hasn't stepped up?
Right, but we have seen Broadway really come to life since this has been announced. Lots of development.
Right.
I'm going to get.
Right.
I've got a call in from Carlton Souls. Let's get him on the air. Carlton Souls is the Republican nominee for the county judge, former city council member. Carlton Souls, welcome to The Source.
Hi. How are you all today?
Doing fine, sir. Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I've been listening in on you, and I think it's a good discussion. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think we need to look at that's driving this in the petition drive is the trust factor. And I think both of you have touched on it earlier. In 2001, there was a vote on a light rail project that, you know, obviously went very badly. And from that moment on, I think the proponents of the streetcar and light rail have worked very hard to figure out a way to bring the project back, or variations of the project back, without ever having to address the voters again. And I think that was a mistake. I think that, obviously, if they want to bring it back, it's incumbent upon them to sell the reasons that it's a good project and bring it back to the voters who rejected it originally, and let them decide. So rather than selling them on what's different or what's better, they've tried to circumvent it. And now they've got, you know, obviously a petition drive and a lot of heat generating from this topic. And petition drives are a rare thing. I mean, a lot of people try to start them, but they rarely are successful. So,
well, we haven't seen if this one's successful yet or not.
Yeah, I think
So, Greg, you wanted to jump in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. I mean, you know, what about the argument that, you know, when commissioners' courts took this up and city council took it up both in 2011 and 2013, that if it, you know, if it had been, you know, a high priority for voters, they would have contacted their council members to, you know, to basically direct them how to vote?
Well, they did. They were very loud in 2011. I voted against it initially and voted against it several times. But, you know, from that very first, you know, date that it came up in 2011, I called for it to go to a public vote. That we've already, you know, that we had a vote in 2001. We also had a vote in 2004 on the ATD tax. And part of this, you know, issues come from the feeling that people have that they voted for the ATD tax, and then that got subverted into the streetcar program.
Sure, and the ATD tax is the Advanced Transportation tax, which was
All
right, well, Carlton Soles, I got to let you go, but thank you for calling and sounding off on this. And Carlton Soles, of course, is the Republican nominee for county judge here in Bexar County. So, Greg Jefferson, real quickly, with Julian Castro leaving San Antonio to become the HUD secretary, what does that do to this issue?
Well, I mean, I think the mayor's leaving in itself doesn't change the issue that much. I mean, when was the last time you really heard him talk forcefully about the need for streetcar downtown?
But there was this whole issue about him, you know, in opposition to him and this being the lightning rod for people who opposed him or anything connected
right.
to him.
Right. I mean, you've got an organization in town called, you know, Americans for Prosperity. It's funded by the Koch brothers. I don't think they're going to go away. You know, I think they're, you know, I think their grassroots organizing or their organizing is going to continue.
Right. So the die has been cast. Opposition has crystallized.
Right.
And these people are not going to go away just because Castro is going to Washington, D.C. Greg Jefferson, business editor for the San Antonio Express News. Thanks for joining us and talking about the streetcars. We'll keep this conversation going future shows. After the NPR news break, we're talking about 75 years of the San Antonio Symphony. Stay tuned.